What You Need to Know is brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. Here she is for the first time today on a Monday at UNEEQ underscore. Here is Laura Romo with What We Need to Know. Or shall we go over to Funchy for What We Need to Know? Laura, Funch, what are we doing?
All right, I got it. In the saddest news...
I've become so accustomed to Laura doing What You Need to
me
Know.
Me too.
Now here comes Funchy.
In the saddest news I've ever had to report on the air, Klondike will discontinue the Choco Taco ice cream treat. The Choco Taco was first introduced in 1984. According to a rep from Klondike, the Choco Taco was entirely discontinued in the month of July due to an unprecedented spike in demand for different Klondike products over the past 2 years. So basically, more people want the Klondike bar or whatever more than the Choco Taco. So,
damn.
Yeah, this has left everyone on social media in outrage, mad. You know, I'm furious about this because Choco Taco is like one of my top three ice creams
all right,
of all
hold
time.
Hold on. I'm going to cut you off now, Funch. Sorry, Cap, I'm taking over here.
Go ahead, man.
All right. Don't be like everybody else on social media, like, oh, I'm furious. Oh, how dare they do that? When's the last time you had a Choco Taco?
Man, it was in this calendar year, I'll say that.
When?
Man, probably like 3 or 4 months ago.
See, if you would support them, they wouldn't be getting rid of it.
No.
Uh-huh.
Oh, man, I can't be eating Choco Tacos all the time,
yeah,
man.
You can. Yeah, you can.
Look at me, man.
See? That's what it is. That's what happened.
Yeah, he got to keep this girlish figure going.
The moment people start saying, oh, how dare they? Then you're like, well, when did you last have one? It's been years. Like, no. It's just because of reminiscing of what happened as a child, that let it go, man. Move on. I don't remember. I love Choco Tacos, by the way, but I don't remember the last time the Paleta Man had one, so I haven't bought one. So I don't remember when seeing them at Albertson's. I don't
man,
see them on the show.
You got to go to liquor store ice cream. You got liquor store ice cream section, man.
Wait, you're saying you only buy them as individuals in like a freezer at the front of a liquor store?
Yeah, I'm not buying a box of them.
Yeah, I've seen them at the liquor store.
At the liquor store?
Yeah.
But if I'm going to the liquor store, I'm getting liquor.
And ice cream. What's wrong with you, man? I'm getting
Takis and like a bottle. Like, yeah, that's what I'm getting. I'm not getting ice cream there.
And if you're getting ice cream, I would rather do like the strawberry one or the.
Now you want to get all complicated. That's why you put Choco Taco out of business.
You're the Laura, but she might be right.
The strawberry shortcake, the one with the.
No! Stay focused here. Choco. Do you even know what a Choco Taco is, Cap?
I do, but I don't have a Choco Taco. Choco Taco.
Have you ever had one?
I don't think so.
Exactly.
Oh, man.
Because it's a hood.
You're missing out, Scott.
No, well, Scott has had Klondike bars. What would you do for a Klondike bar?
Let me tell you something. I'm not a fan of a Klondike bar at all, just so you know.
Are you an ice cream guy?
I am. But the reason I don't like a Klondike bar, no offense, Klondike, is because when you would open up the tin foil that it was in, it's just this square block of chocolate with ice cream in it. So when you go to bite into it and then it all starts falling apart, 3-4 bites into this thing, it's all over you.
It's falling apart,
like, there's
right?
no way to hold on to it. That's why you need, like, a stick. You know, if a Klondike bar was on a stick, that'd be a whole different deal.
And you know what else? I'm going to blame Klondike for this, for the Choco Taco. Because the last time I had one, maybe last year, maybe, the wrapping was stuck to the taco. Like, you know, it just wasn't right. So, you know, not exactly a go-to. I like it. Respect. Just like when the Dodger Stadium, they got rid of the Kulikoo, right? You're like, oh, they don't have that or whatever it is that they have. It evolves and moves on. But if you're really crying over ice cream, come on, man.
Well, hold on. I have a question to ask everybody. What are the ingredients? And I don't mean like down to the real ingredients. I mean, just like describe what is in the Choco Taco.
All right. Choco Taco is a waffle, like mm-hmm. a waffle cone mm-hmm. folded like a taco.
Yep.
Right? That's why they have the taco. Then they put mm-hmm. it's vanilla mm-hmm. and then it'll have chocolate on top with peanuts.
Okay. All right. So the white guy version of what you're talking about, since I never had a Choco Taco.
The white guy version.
The white guy version is called, you ready for this? The drumstick. Have you ever had a drumstick?
I have, but I only ate the cone because it has peanuts on top. And I was
okay, so, right. So Laura can't eat the peanuts. But I'm not joking around here. Like if you
But the thing is, the
drumstick,
okay, yeah. It's the same concept. I just texted you the picture, too. The drumstick, when it gets to the bottom, you're yeah. running out of ice cream. The Choco Taco,
True.
The ice cream is all the way around.
True, but if you remember, when you get to the bottom of the drumstick, the bottom, like maybe half inch of the cone, has a big old thing of milk chocolate in it.
Yeah, it's all air, bro. I want the ice cream. Well, don't rip me off. That's why I don't eat the drumsticks. It's ripping me off. I want ice cream all the way.
All I'm saying is...
And I'm a big dessert guy. I will eat dessert before dinner. Like, that's how I am, man. That's my kind of style.
All I'm saying is that the Choco Taco and the drumstick is the exact same thing.
Same concept.
In a different form.
Same concept, different ice cream, though.
But just see, I just sent you the picture of the strawberry paleta I was talking about.
But we're not talking about paletas. We're talking about the Choco Taco. Stay focused. Well, nobody cares what you'd rather eat. Let's stay focused on the Choco Taco. The story is Choco Taco need to know is that they got rid of Choco Taco. Paletas are still existing. And the paleta I bought yesterday was $3, too, man. That was expensive.
It's expensive now.
Exactly.
It used to be a dollar.
Yeah, I know. I asked my mom for a dollar, and the guy's like, three. I'm like, oh, mama.
When you said the strawberry thing, I thought you were talking about the strawberry shortcake.
No, see, don't get Kaplan confused. One thing at a time. Choco taco, lock
the strawberry
in.
Shortcake is really good.
Put blinders on Kaplan right here. Not Lasix, blinders.
Yeah, no, but I'm telling you right now, the strawberry Nestle drumstick shortcake thingy is bomb.
No, I'm not even going to get you distracted. Stay focused, Cap. No more Choco Taco.
Okay, no more. Choco Taco, gone.
It's like yelling squirrel at this guy.
Squirrel.
So that's it, huh? Funchy, that's like one of the saddest things you've ever had
yes,
to report
it
on
is,
the air.
Because it's literally one of my top three ice cream items of all time.
Yeah, it's. I'm so sad I haven't had one.
Right? Hey, I can't eat ice cream every day, Beto.
Well, then you're not sad.
I am sad.
Why?
Because I love the Choco Taco. If it's out of existence, then, you know, I'm sadder. Yeah. It's a sadder world.
Man, out of sight, out of mind, bro.
Yeah, get something else. Like today, I went to this store and I bought some kind of mint chocolate something ice cream.
Oh, God.
And some other kind of like chocolate peanut butter or something. Because, you know, because I'm trying to prepare myself for my diet to start on September 6th.
Hey,
so I bought some ice cream today.
Have you bought the ice cream that has no dairy in it?
I didn't today, but I have in the past. Yeah.
That's the kind of do it. That's what you got to do, man.
I did buy almond chocolate milk today, just so you know, Beto. You'll be happy about that.
Yeah. It was Oatly. I think that's the one I buy.
Oat milk?
Oatly. I think that's the one. Yeah. You know, you got the fans, you know. Because you got to evolve, man. You can't be eating dairy all the time.
Okay. I'm with that.
Yeah.
All right. All right. That's what you need to know. It's being
RIP Choco Taco.
Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times. Less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. Okay. So I received a video this weekend, Beto, from our very own Laura Romo, and apparently she had the opportunity, like within the first 24 hours after the Rams received their Super Bowl rings, she had a chance to hold it, wear it, rock it, show it off. Laura, tell us what you know about the Rams Super Bowl ring after you put one on, because let me just say this. I saw the players get them. And, I mean, even when you're Aaron Donald, this thing looks gigantic. I mean, it looks like they're wearing a replica of SoFi Stadium on their finger. Mm-hmm. All the dudes who ordered them as pinky rings, bro, you will never wear this ring ever in your life on your pinky, anywhere. But I love the fact that you chose it to be a pinky ring rather than, like, for me, it'd be a thumb ring, you know? But I like some guys who wear it in their middle finger. I think that's kind of cool. But these rings, Beto, have you seen the Rams Super Bowl rings?
Yeah, Laura showed me the picture.
They are freaking massive.
All rings are. All championship rings are now.
I know, but it seems like, you know, how everybody's trying to outdo the next guy. These rings are bigger and badder than any ring I've ever seen. Laura, what can you tell us?
It's gorgeous. Like, seriously, it's just, I was in awe just to see it. Because I've seen the 2020 Lakers ring. Michael brought it in. And I thought that was beautiful. And then I saw this one and I was like, it's bigger. Holy crap. And then the fact that you can take the top off and you see inside SoFi Stadium, and then you look at the top of what you took off and it's the infinity board. Like, it's the creativity of these rings is crazy. Like, yes, they're massive and they're worth so much money, but just the amount of creativity that is going on into these rings is crazy.
Do you take the roof off the ring, or does it like slide so that it doesn't?
No, you take it off. So that like the part where it's the LA will come off. And then if you flip it over, that has the infinity board on it. And I think I sent you the picture, the video where you see all that. And then on the side of it, it looks like a stadium. It's just beautiful. I mean, just beautiful. And that one was toned down.
And in the middle, didn't I see that they, because I saw this video that Jalen Ramsey did with Jason of Beverly Hills, where Jalen Ramsey goes and he's actually making one of the rings, which was hilarious, by the way. Mm-hmm. Inside the ring, there's part of the football or one of the footballs that was used in the Super Bowl game itself. So like, there's the leather of a Super Bowl football inside the ring. Did you see that part of it also?
I did not. But I know, again, this is like, so there's tiers, right, for these rings. So Adam Bronstein, who used to work here and now works for the Rams, has one. He was given one.
It's awesome. Good for him.
So that's the ring that I got to see on Saturday because he had it at his house. and you know, he showed it to us. So I don't know if his has that, because there is like the
There's different levels. Yeah. The players get a certain level. The players get one level, executives get a level, and then the staff will get a different one.
Yeah. So he has tier two, which is called tier two. So that's the one that I saw. So the one the players have is even more massive, has more diamonds. It's even more expensive.
Yeah, because the players get one exclusively for them and designed for them. It has all the different. It's pretty cool. It's just crazy. So during All-Star break, I ran into Mickey Hatcher. He was here at the JW, and he's wearing his 88 World Series ring. And it was cool to see it, right? And you're not going to be a player from this last decade walking around with your ring, because if you do, you're going to, because one, it's too damn heavy to have on your hand. It's gaudy. It's something that you're just going to have at home. That's what's like, remember Mike Breedle, late great Mike Breedle, RIP, Dodger scout? He would wear four of his rings, you know, he's got for the Dodgers. It was always cool, a conversation piece, but you're not going to see any of these players go around with it. And Phil Jackson would wear a ring during the playoffs to remind the players of what they were chasing. But he'd always wear the older ones, the ones with the Bulls that weren't as big. Yeah, it's just, they look impressive. It's awesome. But there's no way in heck you're ever going to wear one of those.
Right.
And then
right.
Did you guys see the, I know Carlo brought this up to my attention earlier, and I did see it, the Von Miller video, where he's wearing like 6 years apart. You could see just the massiveness and size.
Yeah, and it's a big, let me show up the next team.
Exactly.
Yeah, but the Rams and this Super Bowl, when you win a Super Bowl in your home stadium, which is a brand new stadium, which is the greatest stadium on the planet, and all of those stars align, you have to have the biggest, baddest, gaudiest, most ostentatious ring you could ever possibly build. Leave it to Jason of Beverly Hills to do that. But these rings are so gigantic. When you see Aaron Donald wearing one of these rings, and you're like, damn, dude, how are you lifting up your hand?
Exactly.
Like, that's how massive these freaking rings are.
It's like they get it that night, they put it on, they'll put it back in the safe.
Pretty much.
You're not going to walk around with that.
But the dudes who decided that they wanted it as a pinky ring, that's the thing that cracked me up when I watched all the Rams videos and the guys were showing them up like, yo, check this out. I'm like, dog, do you have that ring on your pinky? Like, did you really order it as a pinky ring? Because
the Soprano style or what?
I mean, it's like a watch for someone like myself. You know, I mean, I put this thing on my wrist. These guys have it on their pinkies.
Hey, it's a great accomplishment, man. It's great to have it, and it's going to be a piece forever. But, man, it's just like, whoa. Like, you don't exactly have that out at your house, like, showing off, right?
I wouldn't think so.
You're not walking in like, hey, oh, look, here's a picture from Little League. Oh, there's my Super Bowl ring. No, you have that thing
in the safe
at the bank, man.
Right. Laura, did Adam happen to say how much those rings cost?
Yes, but I'm not going to, like, you know, put
why not?
That. I guess that's his business.
No. It's everybody's business. I'm sure it's out publicly. I just haven't looked it up.
Right. Well, you can. I'm just saying that's his business.
Not how much he paid. Like how much the player's ring is worth.
Right. I'm not saying did he pay for it. I figure it was given to him as a member of the staff. But I'm just wondering, did they say how much the player rings were?
No, I don't know how much the player ring is. Because, again, his is a little different because it is cheaper based on it is a little bit less.
All right, so the ring, 20 carats, celebrate the official opening of SoFi. The ring has 1.2 carats of round diamonds to represent January 12th, the dates in Rams history. Let's see what else here. Five facts. There's SoFi Stadium when you open it up. There's pieces of the turf and fragments of the game-winning ball.
There you go.
Also in there.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here. 20 carats of white diamonds set in white and yellow gold. There's turf in the field. We mentioned that part. It doesn't say the price, but it's a lot of money.
I can say that.
Just say it.
No, I mean, he's paying a lot for the taxes of the
ring. How much is the ring worth?
I don't know.
Wait, he has to pay for his own
ring? Yes. No. All staff have to pay for the ring.
Taxes,
really?
Taxes.
Yes.
Taxes.
They just pay the tax.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're paying something. The players don't.
How much is the tax?
A lot.
Oh, all right. I thought I could get you to just say it.
I know he said that he's like, once you guys see it, he is going to be in studio, I think this week or next, so he's going to bring it. But then after that, he's like, it's going in a safe.
Exactly.
Smart move.
It's to say you got one. He earned it. He was with the team's broadcast, so it was good. But, you know, it's when all organizations offer the staff an opportunity to buy them. So that way you can say that. They're not going to give one to you because imagine if you're the team. And it doesn't matter if you're billionaires or not. If you open it up to one segment of your staff, just giving them, you're going to open up a Pandora's box of, okay, who didn't get this? Who didn't get that? You know, why did that department get it? Why did that department get it? So everybody pays some sort of tax or they pay for it, but the players are the ones that get different.
Yeah, I mean, the player rings are just out of control. Hey, speaking of the Rams, pretty surprised to see the story about Matthew Stafford starting summer camp at UC Irvine, having not thrown a ball the entire offseason. We'll get to that story coming up. Beto Duran is in for Sedano. This is Sedano and Cap on 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Ramon is awesome. The pride of El Camino Real.
Oh, my God. Hilarious. Beto Duran is in for Sedano, the MVP of the 7-10 All-Star game.
Hey, do we get rings for that?
You can buy your own ring.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
You can buy one.
Just answer that. So the ring the Patriots got in 2015,
yeah,
that one cost $36,000.
Okay.
So imagine how much the Rams is going to cost now.
Well, I know a bunch of people in the Sedano and Cap community in the Circle of Trust are saying that well over $100,000 for this year's ring. I'm sure it's out there somewhere. It's got to be.
Yeah, I'm looking for it.
So, Beto, our softball game where you hit the game-winning home run.
Come on, let it go already, bro. Let's move on.
You got to admit one thing. When you compare it to the Major League Baseball All-Star game, it was at Dodger Stadium. Our game was 10 times more exciting, right?
Oh, way more fun. Way more fun.
I mean, it was dramatic, dude, the way you walked it off, you know?
I mean, the way you gave it up, yeah.
Well,
I mean,
I'm going to tell you.
Believe me, we went back to the dugout after the first inning. I looked at Funch and said, we need more tequila because it was going to be a long night.
Damn.
I mean, I was like, Funch, did I not take my cup with me to shortstop?
Oh, yeah.
Inning?
Yeah. You took your cup all over the field, too.
Yeah. I'm like, there's no way. I might as well black out and not remember this ass whooping.
You know, there was an NFL films that I remember seeing as a kid. You know, when I say kid, it could have been. You know, just a few years ago, I just remember this. The Dolphins were in the Super Bowl against the then Washington Redskins, And the game was kind of like a low scoring game. And the Dolphins had a guy on their team named Garo Yepremian. Do you remember that?
The kicker.
Right. And there was a
1983.
Is that the year?
Super Bowl 17.
So Garo Yepremian lines up to kick this field goal for the Miami Dolphins against the Washington football team. And the game is kind of a boring game. And I don't remember it as a kid, but I just remember the story on NFL films. And they asked Yepremian, they said, well, what happened on this play? So the ball is snapped. The ball goes flying up in the air. Garo Yepremian is this little teeny tiny guy. He's wearing one of those single bar, like Joe Theismann kind of face masks.
Uh-huh.
And he's rolling to like the right side of the field, and he's by the sideline, and he goes to throw the ball, but he's so small that his hands are tiny. He can't even grip the ball. He goes to throw it, and he like bats it up in the air, and somebody from Washington picks it off in the air and takes it back for a touchdown. And they asked Yepremian, and they said, well, what happened here? And he said, well, the game was so boring, I just thought I had to spice things up. So that was kind of my thought when you hit that home run.
Oh, he played in the Super Bowl, right?
It was a Super Bowl.
Okay, I'm sorry. It was Super Bowl VII.
Okay.
With Yepremian, 1972. Dolphins beat the Redskins 14-7.
Right. So I think the game was either 14-0 or 7-0 Dolphins, and Yepremian throws this ball up in the air. And again, this is something that happened when I was like 1 year old, so it's not really something I remember. I just remember it from NFL films. And he specifically said, the game was boring, so we had to find a way to spice it up.
It was 1972, the perfect season, Cap.
That's the season, 72?
Yeah, that's when all the Dolphins get together when somebody loses,
mm-hmm,
and they celebrate.
So I got to just say this. So for me, I'm the pitcher. You're the hitter. You hit this ball. It looks like a pop-up. It looks like it's a routine fly ball. Kurt Sandoval is backing up. The ball hits him in the glove. He falls backward over the fence, drops the ball, game-winning walk-off home run. Beto, as much as it stings me, as you were rounding second and heading towards third and I was coming in your direction, you're giving me the point.
Oh, yeah, I'm giving you the Kaplan point.
You're giving me my own point.
Oh, yeah.
You pointed right at me.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, hey, how about a little sportsmanship here? And you're like,
nope.
No, man, no.
It's 2022. Forget your sportsmanship.
Right. You're right. Like, all of a sudden, I'm Madison Bumgarner from earlier in the show, and you're the whoever it was that hit a home run off him in a meaningless, you know, situation. And you're just out there gallivanting around. You're pointing at me. You're taunting me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know what? This is, as much as this stings me to have to give up the game-winning home run.
It's co-ed slow-pitch softball on a Friday night for a bit, and you want sportsmanship.
Well, I mean,
what do you want
you
me to
know.
Do? Put my head down and just jog around?
No,
like
but I mean,
act like I've been there before? Well, heck no. Well, we're washed up people in our 40s, man. I'm going to celebrate as much as I can.
Well, sportsmanship, I mean, I wouldn't have liked anybody to walk or, you know, take their base when they were hit by pitch, but they didn't do that either. Nonetheless,
oh, here we go.
All now I can tell you is this.
It's like 3 weeks later, you're still talking about it.
Well, 10 days. I was Garo Yepremian. This game needs some juice.
Way to keep it relevant with a 1972 reference.
See? Well, I was just, it's stuck in my head, man. It's not really a reference of 72. It's a reference of NFL films.
I mean, okay. Like, Cap, come on, man.
Come on, man.
Come on.
Come on, dude.
Like,
come on. I mean, just admit it. This home run that I served up to you, it's changed your life. Come on.
Yeah. I get to work with Mason.
I mean, is this the greatest sports highlight of your career?
If it is, then I'm really sad. If my highlight is a walk-off in a bit radio with a wooden bat and a 200-foot pop-up, then yeah, then I think we need to really reevaluate.
Why? Have you had a bunch of other walk-off home runs in your career?
It's softball. You're paying to play. Like, don't be that guy. Don't be the guy, like, celebrating. Like, you're an amateur. Like, just don't. Like, you're playing beer league softball or Sunday baseball, whatever, just to get out of the house to, you know, avoid the wife and kids. Like, that's what you're doing. You know, you're going to just I used to umpire slow pitch softball in college. I would do that because quick way to make money. So you see some of these guys, like, why are you taking it so serious? Like, there are no scouts out here. There's nobody out here looking for you. Or when I would play Sunday league baseball. You know, guys are washed up and they're like, oh, I'm going to go back to a JUCO. Like, dude, you're 26. You're not going to go play right now. Like, you just like last chance you. You know, I know Coach Mosley at ELAC and he was talking. I saw him recently at a tournament. He was just talking about some of the guys that want to come back to and try to play basketball at ELAC because of last chance you. And they've been sending guys out there. Like, dude, you're like in your late 20s. Like, let it go. Like, your future is 24-hour fitness runs. Like, that's what you got to do. Like, you just got to know what you are, Cap. Like, no, I'm not going to go and say, oh, the best thing in my life. You know what the best part about that night was? Being out there with the people. Like, that was really cool. Like, being with the people and looking in the outfield and seeing some of the kids from my daughter's soccer team or friends that came out and having fun out there. Like, that was the cool part about that and interacting with the listeners. I'm not going to say fans, the listeners who are part of the community. That was a cool thing because you don't ever do anything like that where you interact with them. And that was really, really cool, man. That's what mattered.
It was really one of the best events. But the best part about it was, I mean, listen, seriously, is that it turned out to be a really great game and it had this dramatic finish. And here I served this thing up to you on a silver platter and you blasted it and Sandoval dropped it and... You know, as much as
first of all, you didn't serve it up because I asked you to pitch, and because you were trying to walk me.
Well, dude, I wasn't trying to walk you. It's like you're standing outside the batter's box. Get in the batter's box. What are you? Why are you so far away
from the
plate?
Because you were throwing it past the catcher. You were throwing it past Emily, who I gave a beer to after the second inning, and that didn't work. You were trying to. And I was like, I even yelled at you, like, come on! I pointed at you, like, pitch it,
dude. I pitched it to you.
Yeah, and I knocked it out.
Well, I mean, you popped it up, and then
Sandoval's now you want to get to details?
Well, hey, listen. Here's the thing: as your life has changed. For the good, as everywhere you go, you're the MVP now. Poor Kurt. Kurt is every day waking up. He's looking in the mirror. He's going to brush his teeth. He's going to shave. He's got to look at himself in the mirror and going, I should have caught that ball. I will, for the rest of my life, I will go to the grave knowing I had that ball in my glove. The game goes on. We still have a one-run lead. The game is still, you know, it's not over at that point. We still have a chance to win. But he dropped that ball. What can I tell you, Beto?
Hey.
You're the hero. You were the hero that night.
Hey, you want to hear a story about me dropping the ball?
Tell me.
All right, let me take you back. Look, it's going to be painful right here.
Okay.
1994.
Come on, man. 1994. Telling stories from the early 70s. You're telling stories from the mid 90s. Come on.
We're getting closer to this decade. 1994.
Yeah.
Redondo High. Mm-hmm. The Redondo Tournament JV game. Bethel Duran playing center field, which I hadn't played because I was playing left field, but we didn't have enough players that day. So we're in the championship game against, I think maybe Milliken High from Long Beach. I'm not too sure. It's the championship game. I'm playing center, and there's like a bleeder. I come sliding in. We're winning. Bethel slides, makes the catch. Oh, it pops out of the glove. The tying run scores. Game over. Because it's a JV tournament, they're not going to go extra innings. So we ended up tying for that Redondo tournament. So my coach at that time, Scott Griffey, who's still a good friend, I was actually in his wedding, to this day will remind me that Bethel didn't make the pop-up catch, and it cost him a pen and pencil set. So I know what Kurt Sandoval is feeling like right now. That's why I'm not piling on Kurt Sandoval, because that could have changed my life. I could have been on varsity, but no, I missed out. So finally, 35 years later, I have redemption.
Yeah, nice. I know. Okay? It's good.
That therapy, it felt good to get off my chest. I've never shared that with anybody. Oh, man.
God, that must feel so good.
Yeah.
It must feel so much better.
JV's baseball stories from 1994. Way to keep it relevant here, brother.
Hey, speaking of keeping it relevant, real quick, before we get to Radio Tinder. So I was surprised to read that Matthew Stafford, we were talking about the Rams getting their Super Bowl rings. The Rams start training camp at UC Irvine. And Matthew Stafford, according to the reports, I kind of find this hard to believe. Tell me what you think. That Matthew Stafford has not thrown a ball from the day of the Super Bowl until just this past weekend. In fact, yesterday, when the Rams opened training camp.
He had elbow issues.
I understand. But it just would seem to me that if you have elbow issues, the whole offseason, you're probably doing rehab. You're working with physical therapists. You're working with team, you know, trainers, et cetera. And you're not just going to show up at training camp and go, okay, here's my first throw. Catch it, Cooper.
Yeah, you are. Scott, in this day and age, every single thing you do is monitored. The technology is crazy different with him, right? You know what you're going to do. You know the timetable of what you're going to have, right? So he first time he throws, he's going to be limited how many throws he's going to have in camp, right? So why are you going to waste your bullets, especially when you're in your 30s, after the Super Bowl and throw right now? Why?
Well, I mean, it just occurred
what
to me.
What are you concerned about?
I mean, like, for example, well, here's the thing. Like, I look at Russell Wilson on Instagram, right? I mean, I see Russell Wilson putting out videos of himself all the time throwing.
Wilson's healthy, isn't he?
Right, but I would think it would be a normal thing that any NFL quarterback would spend some time during the offseason getting themselves in
good
shape.
Not if your arm hurts.
Well, then,
It's hurting. Throw and you feel pain.
Here's my question, though. Should the Rams and should the Rams fans, but really, should the Rams be worried that Stafford went an entire offseason, no surgery?
Oh, here we go. Anthony Davis isn't shooting. Now no surgery.
I'm just saying, I mean, it's surprising to me that he didn't throw one ball in the offseason. In fact, I'll put it this way.
Okay,
I'm not even sure I believe it.
The surprising factor would be if he shows up and tells the team, hey, I haven't thrown. Then that's a different story. You're going to tell me with all the money invested in him, knowing what you have, that Aaron Donald came back, McVay came back, and they're just going to put it up the chance that their quarterback hasn't thrown. They've been in constant communication what's going on.
I would expect so, and I would expect that they're working on rehab also. But
this is also a Rams team that doesn't play their starters in preseason.
Fair point. But I'm just saying, it just seemed odd to me that it was like, I haven't thrown a ball until today.
Scott,
like,
it's
literally
July.
Just saying that everybody works out in the offseason. Everybody works on their discipline. And his discipline is throwing.
On. Yes. You can't. Okay, so Scott, you want him throwing with pain in his elbow.
Well, I mean, did he have pain in his elbow yesterday?
Maybe because he didn't throw since the Super Bowl, the pain has subsided.
So
you, Mensel, listen. You hurt yourself at the softball game, right? Instead of letting it heal, you try to go run yesterday, and what did you do? You aggravated, right?
Yeah, okay.
So what if you just let your body heal for a month, and then come September, you go on your diet, and you feel way better?
This is not terrible advice by you, by the way. This is not terrible advice. All right, stick around. We'll have more good advice.
Man, you...
Radio Tinder is up next. I'm gonna get Beto to lose his mind like I do Sedano every day. Radio Tinder is coming up. This is Sedano and Cap on 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thank you, Chris.
Hey, I'll say this, though. A fight I worked on Friday, the main event fighter, El Yuyu Acosta from Whittier, the dude had Tequila Mandala sponsorship on his trunks.
No way.
So
really?
So Tequila Mandala out there doing work. So if they're sponsoring the fighter, how are they not sponsoring the studio right now? Because I am thirsty.
Facts.
Well, Radio Tinder is presented by our new sponsor, Tequila Mandala. Always swipe right on Tequila Mandala. Award-winning small batch premium sipping tequila made from the finest mature agaves available everywhere fine tequilas are sold. Or visit TequilaMandala.com. Expect the extraordinary with Tequila Mandala. Funchy.
Just real quick, just like Morales says, shout out to Estelle Getty, RIP. One of my favorite movies of all time, Stop or My Mom Will Shoot. With Sylvester Stallone. Remember that movie?
I do. I mean, I remember like the name of the movie. I just don't remember seeing it.
Stop or My Mom Will Shoot. Mm-hmm. Great movie.
All right. Has to be an 80s movie, right?
It is. Yeah. I think it was like 89 or something like that.
Right. He wants you to know that it's not like 82. 89 makes it more contemporary.
We're getting closer, baby. We're getting closer.
That's what I'm saying.
Much more contemporary.
There you go.
All right. Over the weekend, we had a 31st anniversary of this song. And think of the summers of the
past. Adjust the bass. Jam right here. Pop in my CD and let me run around. Still works. Car on cruise and lay
back, cause it's summertime. All right, that's DJ Jazzy Jeff and Cap's most hated rival, the Fresh Prince, Will Smith. They came out with this opus in 1991.
What are you laughing at, Beto?
Rival?
Yeah, what's it so
is
funny,
his rival.
Beto?
How can you have a rival when he doesn't know you exist?
No, he knows I exist.
No, he don't.
Yes, he do.
He already add him on Twitter and everything.
Yes, he do.
Yes, he do. Yes, he do. Yes, he do.
He do know.
Okay.
No, he don't.
So it's your rival. Okay.
No, he don't.
All right.
All right, guys.
You really got a beef with him?
Well, yeah, I've got a beef with him.
Okay. All right. That's another story another day.
All right.
Go for it.
All right, guys. I think it's this song right here. It's the greatest summertime song ever. You can play it at any barbecue, beach outing, and it gets the party going. So question is Summertime by Fresh Prince and DJ Jazzy Jeff the greatest summer song of all time? Swipe left or swipe right, Beto?
I am going to swipe. Wait, right means no good, right?
Right means you agree. Left means you disagree.
Oh, you know, I'm with my hermano Cap. I'm going to boycott Will Smith, too. I don't know why. I'm going to swipe left. It's cool. It's kitschy. But for me, I guess Sublime, Summertime is the one I would go with.
That's a good one, too. Because that's when, goodness. I forgot about that.
You know, Sublime, you're feeling like you're at the beach. And that was like in the mid-90s when I'm driving my Volkswagen Bug, leaving Carriage Crest Park, just got done working. And I'm like, all right, you know, like, this feels pretty good. This was cool. But, you know, give me some Sublime. That's just my jam.
Well, just so you know, Beto, the reason that I have a whole big problem here with Will Smith is because still to this day, we've heard nothing from Will Smith about keep my wife's name out your damn mouth. It's
stop.
Dude.
What's your problem?
Dude, yeah, that's my problem.
What's,
I'm on Team Chris Rock.
Song?
So hold on a second. So I have made a conscious effort to boycott Will Smith. So as much as I loved, past tense, loved this song, I no longer get down to it. In fact, as I've said many times, I no longer get jiggy with it. I'm out on Will Smith until I hear him apologize to my man, Chris Rock.
So two dudes you don't know, you're fighting over them.
That's right. So, you nailed it.
All right. So, you know, I'll agree with you. So, yeah, we're going to swipe left on this one. We don't like it.
I'm swiping left. I'm on Team Chris Rock. If Chris Rock was singing Summertime, I'd tell you it's awesome.
This guy.
All right, guys. On got another anniversary, too. On this day in 2008, Will Ferrell's Step Brothers was released in theaters. And if you don't remember it much, here's my favorite scene from the movie. All right, now.
You're laughing, aren't you, Fletch?
I love that scene, man. Pan.
Are you saying Pan?
Yeah, that's the best part of the movie, seriously. Now, Ferrell has had Talladega Nights, Anchorman, Old School, Zoolander, et cetera, et cetera. But I think Step Brothers is his finest movie to date. So question here, Step Brothers is Will Ferrell's best movie. Swipe left or swipe right, Cap?
I'm going to swipe left. I love Step Brothers. It's one of those movies that if you happen to be flipping channels, Like tonight, I'm going to be flipping channels. The reason I'm going to be flipping channels is because I know that Shark Week has started.
And, that's another conversation,
but,
too.
But I don't know where. Is it Discovery Channel? I have no idea where Discovery Channel is. So I'll be flipping channels. If I were flipping channels looking for Shark Week and I found Step Brothers, I would have to stop. You know, I'd have to have the whole Catalina wine mixer event thing going on. I love this film, but I don't think it's Will Ferrell's best movie.
Swipe left for me. I don't like anything Will Ferrell related where he's the main guy. I never saw Step Brothers. I just don't find it funny. Now, when he's a second role, I'm all about it. You know, like old school, love it, right? Anchorman, he wasn't really the main guy for me because I like Christina Applegate. She was good. Everybody, the ensemble. His comedy just not for me. Great role, right? I tried watching Semi-Pro the other day because I couldn't sleep.
I don't like that movie.
No, not for me. I'm not a Will Ferrell guy, so swipe left.
But I know a lot of people that love Step Brothers and think it's not only his best movie, but just think it's like one of the all-time great comedies.
Yeah, I'm just not going to spend money. I'm not going to waste time on it. It's just not my style. And, you know, that's what you do, right? It's your style. Like you said, if he's in there as ensemble, that's cool. But when the main guy, nah.
The funny part about it is that when John C. Reilly, who was the other stepbrother in the movie with Will Ferrell, like what he did as Dr. Jerry Buss was, I thought, such an amazing acting job by him.
Fantastic.
Right. And yet I think of him as being like a clown comedy movie actor, but he was so awesome in Winning Time.
No, I think of him as Boogie Nights.
Oh, yeah.
That's where I'm from with John C. Reilly. Yeah. John C. Reilly, great actor.
Miss Laura, favorite Will Ferrell movie?
Talladega Nights. It's not, because I'm with Beto. Like, he's good as a second, not as a prime, like, actor. Like, I'm not going to be there like, ooh.
Like, all that shtick kind of, it's not for me. Yeah. But, I mean, I know a lot of people love it, and he's a millionaire, and
Anchorman's
he's great.
Pretty good, though, too. I like Anchorman.
Just not for me.
Part owner LAFC, right? Huh? Part owner LAFC, right?
Oh, then we love him.
No. I mean, I'm with you, Beto. Like, I think I will watch it. There's certain, like, Elf is good for me, too. Like,
not
like
the main
I
guy.
I like Elf.
Exactly, not the main guy, but I like Elf. But I'm not going to
James Caan,
like,
R.I.P.
Ooh, I'm going to go see. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
All right, keep us going, Funchy.
All right, guys, one more. So working in radio, all of us, we all work different hours during the day or night or whatever, and then we're driving in rush hour, driving, you know, not in rush hour. So this week, you know, filling for Lindsay has kind of been good for me, you know.
This week? It's Monday, fool.
Well, whatever, man. I've been filming for a week. I don't know where she is, dude.
It's been the last, like, it's been about 10 days.
Like I've been filming for a month.
Tough afternoon for you.
Well, remember, before the softball game yet again, remember Lindsay went on the IL with COVID, you know?
Exactly.
Oh, jeez.
You didn't have to tell
Poor you.
What are you talking about? She talked about it publicly, Laura.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I don't have to drive around in rush hour now. And, you know, last week, driving in and not in rush hour, I'm behind a person that's going 70 miles per hour in the fast lane. And to me, that's a cardinal sin. Like, you cannot be going 70 miles per hour in the fast lane. You got to go faster than that, okay? So, question for me, driving under 70 miles per hour in the fast lane is a criminal offense in your eyes? Swipe left or swipe right? Cap.
I'm going to swipe left because, look, sometimes, you know, you get into that left lane and you expect people to be doing 80, 85 miles an hour. 70 miles an hour is still pretty good, but I'm behind you and I want to go faster. So I may give you the brights and say, can you move over? Do you mind? But I just don't think it's a massive cardinal sin. I'll tell you something else, Funchy. I find that people are driving slower ever since weed was legalized.
Yeah, you might have a point there.
Anybody feeling me on this? Like, you ever get behind that guy on the freeway who's doing 45 miles an hour?
And you're
like, what's wrong with this dude? It's because he's baked.
Yeah, I was behind that guy the other day. Yeah, I saw that guy. Yeah.
Get off the road.
Yes.
Swipe left.
Beto, you've been on the road a lot, you know.
That's all I do is drive, man. Cap, really? 45 miles an hour?
Not me. I'm just saying other people, you know.
Cap's always throwing me off, man. Maybe it was you and you didn't realize that.
No. I set the cruise control, Beto. I set the cruise control.
Where
you know
do you drive that you can have cruise control? What freeway are you on that you can do cruise control?
5405.
No, you're not.
Yeah, I'm telling you. No, dude, I don't drive during rush hour.
All the stop and go traffic, you're not doing that.
Dude, when I leave to go to LA Live, I leave at 12:30 in the afternoon.
Uh-huh.
Takes me about 2 hours and 10 minutes to park, And then when I leave LA Live and I head south, takes me about 90 minutes. And I just set the cruise control and I'm rolling.
Man,
traffic.
What world do you live in?
I live in the off-peak hour world.
But yeah, you know, if you're going 75 in the fast lane, fine, just get out of the way. Move. Get out of the way.
That's what I'm saying. Get out the way.
You got to go 80, bro. You got to get going. And like I tell my kid who's 17, I'm like, you don't belong in the fast lane because you don't know how to drive yet, fool.
Like half the people on there.
So
in traffic,
fast lane, you got to go. Second lane, I'm okay with it, you know. But it's also, you was really getting to me lately, though, are these guys who are weaving in and out of lanes during traffic.
Late night.
I'm okay with it because, you know, it's midnight. You can go up and do whatever you want.
Yeah,
but it's in the traffic and you're weaving in and out of lanes with diesel trucks in front of you. Like, that's an accident waiting to happen. And, you know, it's always those guys that get away with it. It's always the people behind them. So, last week, I took my son playing in Vegas, right? You know when you pass state line right there at Buffalo Bills?
Yeah.
And I told my son, don't you ever, ever speed here because it's a trap. They're going to get you.
Yep.
And I tell my kid all the time, like, dude, you're expensive as it is because you're a 17-year-old driver. If you get a ticket, there's no way I'm going to let you drive anymore.
Oh, dude.
So sure enough, what happened? 5 minutes later, a car swoops past us, and I'm like, guarantee you this car is going to get pulled over. 15 minutes later, we see him pulled over, and I was so happy. I'm like, that's what you get, man. There's no need for you to be speeding that bad because I was going 90. And this one went past me. He flew past me, but I was keeping up with the traffic flow. You know,
I
wasn't by myself. It was the traffic flow with us.
If they're stopping, they're stopping all of us.
This fool weaved in and out between us and took off. And I was like, "Ooh, good to see him pulled over. Nice BMW X5 M version.
Got what he got.
Got what you got."
One thing that I do hate, sorry guys, because I'm with Funge. Like, if you're going slow, get out of my way. But like Beto said, so there's certain parts that you know the cops are waiting for you, so you gotta, like, you know, chill it out. The thing that I hate is if you're paying for fast track and you're going like 50 miles an hour. Get out of my way. I'm paying. Get out of my way.
On the flip side, if you're paying for fast track, doesn't mean you get to go 100.
No.
Because we're especially by USC, when we're elevated, this fool doesn't need to be going that fast, man. I don't want to be knocked over.
Okay, I'm not saying 100, but I'm not saying go 50, bro. Like, get out.
Yeah,
bro.
You're
going to go 50, get out of that lane. You don't need to be on the fast track lane. Like,
you
no
tell
way.
Him, Laura. You tell him.
That's my rent.
Radio Tinder presented by Tequila Mandala. Always swipe right for Tequila Mandala.
Woo!
Hey, Beto, you'll love this. You ready for this?
I had
an accident this weekend. I got into a car accident this weekend.
Oh, no.
I'm going to tell you this story. This is a crazy story. I was not driving my car, but got hit. Well, this is a crazy story. I'm going to tell it because I just got off the phone with the cops right before we got off on the air. I'll tell it to you coming right back. This is Sedano and Cap on 710 ESPN.
Great
yeah, we
movie.
Were talking about Will Ferrell movies earlier. Beto, do you like Caddyshack?
Oh, absolutely. Now, that's a great movie right there, man. Watch it all the time.
Years.
Every couple of months, I'll throw it on, you know, or if there's nothing else on Netflix, I'll just put it up. It's great. So many lines to quote. You know, Noonan wanted to be a lawyer. You know, you can learn a lot about being a caddy.
I'm listening.
Yeah, jamming right here. No. This is summer.
Hey, the world needs ditch diggers too, Danny.
Hey. When Judge Smales christens his boat, so many great scenes. Like when he's picking his nose, is the kid going to do it?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
You know, exactly. I think it was the 20-year anniversary of Caddyshack, and they did a behind the scenes with the director, a guy by the name of Harold Ramis. Do you remember that name?
Yeah, of course.
So Harold Ramis, to me, in the movie Stripes, Bill Murray and Harold Ramis are two guys that are joining the Army. Remember that movie?
Mm-hmm.
And so Ramis was the director, I believe, of Caddyshack. And he was telling the story how they get through, like, the filming of the movie, and they're like, I don't know, like 85% of the way done. And they realize, wait a second, Chevy Chase and Bill Murray are the stars of this movie. We don't have one scene with the two of these guys in it together.
They hated each other, right?
That part I don't know. But
from SNL days, right?
I you're telling me something I don't know.
Well,
seriously.
I don't know, because
that's what I heard too, Beto, that they had beef in SNL. That's why Bill Murray left or something.
And everybody in that movie, everybody hated Chevy Chase. I mean, Chevy Chase is just a jerk. You know, and that scene, he was good, but he's a nightmare to work with.
Well, all I'm saying is that in this, like, Caddyshack behind the scene 20-year anniversary, which I think I had on VHS tape, by the way, Harold Ramis is telling the story that Chevy Chase and Bill Murray are the two stars of the film,
yep,
and they don't have one scene together. So they came up with the idea of how Bill Murray would hit his ball in, or Chevy Chase would hit his ball into Bill Murray's, like, house.
Shack.
Right.
And that's wow. Where,
and
shack, right. Really grow weed in there.
Well, it was a caddy shack, right?
Yeah.
And so it was the groundskeeper's place. And so that's when, you know, the scene where he says, you know, pool, pond,
yeah,
you know, pool, pond, you know, whatever, you know.
I told the llama.
You know, right. And he says, yeah, you know, well, I think.
A little something for the trouble.
Yeah, you know, a little something for the trouble, you know. Yeah, so that scene, right.
Yeah.
So he says they put Chevy Chase and they put Bill Murray together. And that's the one where he goes, you know, a lot of people don't know this, but, you know, like, you know, manganese, you know, a lot of people don't know that. So that scene was the only scene that they did together in the whole film, and they improv the entire thing.
Yeah, Bill Murray improv the entire thing and talking about all the good stuff. So, yeah, I love watching behind the scenes of movies that I really like. Like Field of Dreams, they had the behind the scenes, and, you know, anything that can give you the director's cut. Like last night, I couldn't sleep, so I was watching Bull Durham.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can click on that part where it gives you trivia. So many cool little nuggets about who they wanted to play Crash Davis and the scenes behind that. You know, who they really wanted there. The how Susan Sarandon was in her 40s and Kevin Costner was in his 30s. You know, stuff like that. And there's like just the little, I love that little trivia stuff about movies that I really like.
I love Caddyshack. It's like one of my all-time favorite movies.
Absolutely.
And, I mean, Rodney Dangerfield in that movie is so great.
Hey, Wang, let's party.
You know, I'll tell you, I'll tell him I'm Jewish. Okay, fine. Okay. I mean, I freaking love that movie. And, wow, it's been 42 years since that movie was released.
Yeah,
incredible.
You don't even have to be a golf fan. It's just a funny movie, man.
Right. So, Beto, this weekend, Saturday evening, it's about 7 p.m. at night, right? And getting ready, Rachel and I are about to go out and have a little light dinner. You know, we're trying to take it down Saturday night because it had been like three straight days of like some craziness, you know. And we're kind of getting ready and the window's open in the bedroom. And all of a sudden I hear this car come down the street and I hear cars being hit. And I'm like, and I just know the sound of cars hitting into other cars, you know. And I'm like, what the hell's going on? I open the door. I walk outside. And all of a sudden, the neighbors are all coming out from their homes and coming out onto the street. And I, like, yell down, like, as if I live in New York City. I'm like, yo, what's going on down there? And they're like, did you just see that? I'm like, no, I heard it. What happened? And they're like, some dude in a white car came barreling down the street, pinballing from side to side, hitting cars.
Whoa.
On either side. Yeah, right. So I look at my car, which is parked on the street, and I can see that my driver's side mirror is like all torn off my car, you know? And I'm like, what the hell? So I go down, I look at my car, my driver's side, like I said, mirror is busted and shattered and blasted all over the street. Three cars up from me, though, Beto, this guy, his driver's side front tire smashed, wheel destroyed, car sideswiped, about five
what?
Cars up further, another car hit in the back. On and on. So we call the police, right? Call the cops and go, hey, listen, just wanted to tell you, somebody in a white car, don't have any other details, is pinballing up and down the street. So now it's about 40 minutes later. We wind up getting into an Uber. And as we're getting into an Uber to go out to this place, I see all these cops down at the other end of the street. I said to the Uber guy, I go, go forward. Let's see what's going on up there. I get up there. You're not going to believe this. Two sheriffs have a woman sprawled out on a driveway, and I mean annihilated, blitzed drunk, this woman. She hit, I want to say, like 8 to 10 cars.
Whoa.
On the street. Yeah. So just before we were getting on the air, I was literally on the car with, I was on the phone with the cops, because when I got there to where the cops were, I'm like, yeah, she hit my car like three blocks down there. Cops goes, hey, let me get your driver's license, registration. You know, I go, deputy. Kind of seems like you're busy here, you know, like arresting a drunk driver and impounding her car. He's like, yeah, just call us on Monday, which I did today to you know, get myself into this police report. But, dude, you talk about dangerous. I'm telling you right now, don't ever go anywhere and drink a beer and then drive, or have a cocktail and drive. It's just not worth it. Because what freaked me out, Beto, I walk those streets. I ride my bike on those streets. And here this woman came barreling down the street, wasted out of her mind, hitting all these cars. I was just.
Your neighborhood.
Right in my neighborhood, yeah.
So that means she's leaving somebody's party.
I don't know what she was leaving. But,
I mean,
She lives in the neighborhood, by the way. I don't know her, but she lives in the neighborhood.
Blitzed.
Wasted. Gone. Wasted.
The afternoon?
7 o'clock at night.
Damn. So somebody must have had a party there, probably a little pool party during the afternoon. Hung out, bunch of cocktails, time to go home. And she's like, I'm fine. And takes off.
Yeah.
8 cars, huh?
Damn. Dude. I mean, cars hit up and down the street, side to side. Can you imagine?
Sucks.
Dude. Terrible. Anyway.
And nobody hurt.
Yeah, thankfully nobody was hurt. Thankfully nobody was hurt. Yeah,
I mean, there's kids running around the street. You never know what might happen.
Dude, I'm telling you, like if you've ever gone to a place and you're like, yeah, I've had 2 drinks. I'm fine. I'll be fine. You know?
Yeah, that's not 2 drinks, Cap. If you're hitting 8 cars.
Oh, dude.
If you're going back and forth.
Oh, Beto, she was obliterated. She was laid out on the driveway of these people's house like a total mess. And when the cop said to me, he goes, well, if you'll just pull over and give me your driver's license, your registration, your insurance, we'll get you on the police report. I'm like, yo, deputy, kind of feels like you got bigger fish to fry right about now, you know? I don't really want to get in the middle of all of this. So
she's just on the ground? They're not like, they're just talking to her?
Well, yeah, because she posed like no threat. She was just like wasted on the ground.
That's a different neighborhood.
Yeah, it is a different neighborhood, isn't it?
Facts.
Straight up, for real. That is facts. Anyway, all right, listen. Coming up, we got a lot more we still want to get to, including...
Oh, I got some plans for you. Are you coming tomorrow?
Yes, I'm coming tomorrow.
What time?
I'll be there at like 3 o'clock.
No! Can you come earlier?
I can't get there earlier.
Ah, man!
Why, were we going to go do our taco tasting tomorrow?
Yes!
Maybe we should bring tacos into the studio from different places.
No. I got to have you on the 710. I got to have you in the tire shop. I got to have you at the... I want you to be the only white person in the area, man. That's what I want from you, Scott Kaplan.
I don't mind being the only white person.
Yeah, but I want you there. It's content, baby.
I understand. I do. All right, stick around. Beto is in for Sedano.
I'm off tomorrow.
You're done. You're out of here tomorrow.
Funch, find somebody else to work tomorrow.
What you need to know is coming up next. We got a lot more we got to get to, including how about Michael Thompson's sons being at Dodger Stadium yesterday? One's hitting balls and one's drinking beers. We'll get to those stories coming up. This is Sedano and Cap on 710 ESPN.